Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show, number 610 in the series. This year's the Complete Street public discussion meeting that was held on Wednesday, September 22nd, 2021. The meeting was conducted in a hybrid mode. Town administration and DPW staff, along with some public participants, were present in the council chambers. Others were able to participate via the Zoom conference bridge. Yes, I do take part in this session to ask about the documentation shared to those in the room and yet not available for those remote. I also raise a few points on safe walking issues that I've noticed around town. Links to the meeting agenda and to my notes are in the show notes. The meeting recording runs about 26 minutes. Let's listen to the Complete Streets public discussion for September 22nd.
Good evening, everybody. So I've gotten so used to the TVs being on in front of me, being able to see them. Now I'm trying to look at Alicia's thing over there. But anyways, welcome everybody tonight. This is kind of a strange strange meeting in the sense that this is not a formal meeting of any town board or committee, but this is the town staff and the Franklin DPW is going to be walking through an overview of the Complete Streets program. Thanks, Chris. Which is a state program designed to increase pedestrian access, bike lanes, infrastructure, sidewalks, and a variety of bike racks, and the Franklin Greenways, we've kind of tentatively called it, which is a connectivity project between all the open spaces downtown and in the community, rail trails, a whole variety of transportation modes that do not, that even do include the car in some cases. But our incredible team is going to go through a presentation here. The town DPW has created a website with Complete Streets materials on it. Earlier this year, the town council voted unanimously to support this initiative. And now we're in the execution phase of developing a comprehensive plan that's required by the state in our town engineering department. And they are going to go through a short presentation to discuss the plan that we have to submit as a community by the end of the month. So without further ado, again, Chris, thanks so much for putting that up on the screen, the PowerPoint. Without further ado, I'll pass the mic over to the DPW Director, Robert A. Cantareggi, otherwise known as Brutus, and Michael Maglio, the town engineer. Take it away, guys. Thanks.
Thank you, Jamie. I got a quick presentation here. This is we did this for the council before, but just to give folks at home a quick update of what's going on and kind of give a brief overview of the program. So Complete Streets wants to provide a safe and accessible option for all travel modes, either walking, biking, transit vehicles, for purposes of all ages and all abilities. Complete Street funding. This is a program that started about, let's say, 7-8 years ago,
about that. Yep.
And it was it's run by Mass Department of Transportation, provides technical assistance, funding source for construction projects, and up to $400,000 a year. So program tiers, tier one, registered with Mass DOT, participate in training, develop a Complete Street policy. We've done that. Tier two, develop a Complete Streets prioritization plan. And then with this, Mass DOT awarded Franklin $38,000 to work with a outside contractor to go ahead and help evaluate and submit our projects. And tier three, apply for individual construction project grants, Mass DOT issues project approval, and notice to proceed. So we're kind of going through this right now. We've had a couple of public outreach programs. This is one of them. We did something the other day up on the town common farmers market to get participation with this program to kind of figure out, because we look at it, you know, Public Works, we field a lot of calls and we're constantly developing, evaluating our assets in town, you know, but we're trying to figure out where this might fit in with us. But, you know, a lot of times it's good to, you know, listen to the public because, you know, we get focused on certain things. We might come up with some different ideas. So that's why it's important to have meetings like this. The benefits of Complete Streets. It promotes a safer, more convenient access and travel for all users and people's vulnerabilities. Contributes towards the safety, health, economic viability, and quality of life in the community. Provides better conductivity for travel between home, school, work, recreational destinations. So up here you can kind of see, you know, before complete street, and then maybe after complete street program, I have crosswalks, we got bike lanes, we could have what's called a center turning lane for traffic calming. There's a lot of different things that we can do, a lot of options, depending on where you are and what you're doing. Maybe large scale corridor wide improvements that include a separate bike lane or new traffic signal address pedestrian and bicycle movements. Maybe small scale pavement markings to delineate shared bike lanes or upgrade accessible curb ramps. The design of a complete street should incorporate improvements that fits with a need and within the character of the community. This is very important. We take this seriously. I mean, the biggest thing I can tell you is things that work in Cambridge might not work here in Boston. I mean, in Franklin, but it would probably work in Boston. Yeah, I know. And what works in Franklin might not work in Granby, Mass. So, you know, you got to look at it that way, too. Great. So challenges, we got obviously physical constraints. You know, that's the width of the road. It could be, you know, we have a lot of existing walls in town. We have trees. We have scenic protected roads available right away. Just how wide the road is, you know, how much the town owns, what we can do with that. And obviously traffic volumes and speed, just how many cars are going down there and, you know, where we're going to get the biggest bang for our buck and our value. Types of eligible projects, pedestrian facilities. This could be a new sidewalk, sidewalk repairs, accessible curb ramps, traffic and safety, traffic calming, shoulder widening, radar speed signs, transit facilities, secure bike parking, signage, transit shelters. Bicycle facilities, shared paths, bike lanes, bicycle parking fixtures. This just gives you an idea of participating communities that have taken advantage of this. At one, they're at one stage or they're one tier, some tier. So our next step, develop a complete street prioritization plans. As Mr. Helen said, the council overwhelmingly supported this program. They voted on it in the springtime. So now we're going through the prioritization list. So this is doing actually, we say September, it's due next week. So we already had a good working list. We're going to take a little more input and engineering department's going to go ahead and we're going to finalize it and prioritize it with our consultant and get everything submitted next week. Any questions? All right.
Do you want to walk through Brutus? I think
Mike can might be good just to go down what some of the ones we've got.
Just so that the folks at home that are watching understand, we have a list of about 20 projects, Mike.
That's
They're on the prioritization plan. Many of them are actually very familiar to many Franklin residents. Some of them actually were highlighted at a charrette. Sponsored by the GIS department, Danica from our staff and others were there. Councilor Frangillo, many other folks were participating, and they've got a board here. Chris, maybe you could get a camera to focus in the one with all the colored sticky notes there. There were citizens that put up all sorts of cool ideas throughout all the maps. And so our plan reflects a lot of those comments. And Mike, maybe you could give an overview of the 20 projects and just a short summary of each one, just so the folks at home have an idea of what's on the plan. And just so it's clear to everybody at home, this isn't the permanent plan that's done for the rest of life. These plans can continue to change, adapt, and each year we're going to be required to take projects off, put them on, depending on available funding and priority. So thanks, Mike.
Sure. Well, I just want to add, I hope we do get $400,000 in funding, and that's the way we take them off.
Well said, Bruce. Well said. Well said.
So just to summarize, so we're the council had adopted the complete street policy, which was part of the program, the first tier. We did that back in April. So we're currently, this list we have right now we're working on is the tier two part of the program. We're going through the process right now, and we're going to get some more copies. So we're going to, So we're going through the process now with the, we identified about 20 projects or so, and they vary all over town in different scopes. And what we'll do is, we also had a lot of feedback from the other outreach meeting we had at the farmer's market. So we'll incorporate a lot of those comments, See if there's another project or two we can add to this list, get it into the state, and then we'll prioritize them based on what we think is what we're going to get the most bang for our buck as far as getting some of the money that we can use to build some of these. So some of the projects we have, I mean, some of the bigger ones are a bike lane on Grove Street. Right now we're working on a design for a new traffic signal at Grove Street and Washington Street. As part of that work, we're looking into the future that we're going to try and get a bike path from that intersection on Washington Street all the way up to the SNET Trail, make that connection, and then eventually get it further up Grove Street to Beaver Street, and eventually bring it around and tie into the Chilson Park at Beaver Pond area. That'd be a good connection to have that connectivity through town. That's probably, I mean, a project like that would be well over the $400,000, but we've broken out in a couple of phases, and you know, that project might represent two or three projects on this list, just so we can acquire the funding to help us get those constructed. Some other projects we have on here, potentially some traffic calming at the King Street or Wachusett Street. There's currently a crosswalk there now with the, you might have seen them with the radar signs during the school zones, the flashing crosswalk signs. Appears, you know, we've seen some feedback that there's still some speed through there. We're, you know, looking at doing a traffic calming project through there. That'd be another type of project that's on the list. Bicycle parking facilities throughout town, that's one project, having some locations, different areas. Adding a, you know, we just finished a reconstruction of a section of Lincoln Street, and we have a sidewalk running all the way up to Elm and Daniels, and we just extended that up about a block up the skyline last year, or about 2 years ago, and we'd like to see that sidewalk continue all the way up towards Medway. That's another project that's on here that's broken out into a couple of different projects, just because the scope of that would be so large. We'd $400,000 of grant money wouldn't be enough to cover the whole thing. Similarly, another project is a sidewalk on Washington Street from the intersection of King Street back up to 495. That's something that's been on a list, on our to-do list. We'd like to see that get done. That's broken out into a couple of different projects on this list also. So when we go through, we'll prioritize these and based on where we think we can make the biggest impact the soonest. And then if we get the money from the grants, it could just help move these projects along that much quicker. Right now we have about 20 or so projects on this list. We'll prioritize them, but again, we don't have to necessarily, we may or may not get all the funding to do all these all at once. It may be done over time, and we may decide to do some of these, to move them along and do some of these projects with other funding if it becomes available, not necessarily just waiting on the state. So we don't expect to get all these projects done within the next couple of years. It's just sort of our wish list. We'll have our highest priorities and try and make the most use of any available funding we get.
I think it's important to add that Franklin has been really good about getting grants and incorporating them into, you know, scheduled work that we're already doing. So that would be the idea. We might get $400,000, say, for the Lincoln Street extension project, but we'd have to incorporate other funds, whether it's Chapter 90 or other funds that the council might appropriate for us. Just to bring this up, since we're talking about this, we, you know, got a lot of calls about on Lincoln Street. We did look at some of these initial things to do, like bike lanes and widening the road. But Lincoln Street's the classic one where it's, you know, it's an old country road that was very narrow in a lot of areas, so it would have been impossible for us to do like the big complete street. Even if we wanted to, it would have been land takings and a lot of costs associated with that. And as Mike said, you know, a lot of this stuff has been on our radar screen for a long time. 4 years ago, I think one of the best ones we ever did was to do the council vote on Chestnut Street and Pleasant Street. You know, the sidewalks out there, it's just amazing. You know, we're out there all the time. Folks use that. It connects with Delcart. It brings everybody around. It works really well. Mike mentioned we really want to get Washington Street done because that would, that's the section of Washington Street to connect to King Street down to Union, basically, would be phenomenal to get that loop together. And then I will say right now we are doing one of the other big ones that was on our list is the sidewalk on Beaver Street. So now you'd be able to walk from 140 up to the Chilson Playground or the turf fields, whatever people like to call it, or the recycling center. You know, you just might want to walk up there someday,
especially after we rebuild it.
Yeah, I know that's coming down there. But So a lot of these things are on there, but we're just looking at this another way to facilitate to get more funding for the town and get some more of these projects done. So I don't know if anybody had any other specific questions.
I think we have a member here in the audience who has a question. Could you please step to the mic and state your name and who you are?
Hi there, Beth Werling, 164 Main Street. I guess commendable job to the DPW. You guys always do a great job with everything you do. So I'm sure when you're looking through to make sure you prioritize this list and get the biggest bang for your buck on getting these projects done, will you also look into certain priorities for safety features, prioritizing things that are the most important to do to make sure safety of the residents are met first? And look to other programs maybe to address and use practical funding sources for other items, such as, I think, bicycle parking, maybe look to other grants to source funding for those, to save some other fundings for the higher priority items on this might be an option as well. So I think in the past we've received grants for bike parking that we have around town.
We have, Beth, you bring up great points.
Thank you.
It's interesting to note, I'm not sure if we've got this final list because we're working on it today, what we're thinking. We'll make sure it's online tomorrow. But a lot of different things on here, it's kind of a complicated thing, but we talk about our priorities, but we also have to look at the state's priorities, and they give you more points for different types of things. And particularly, as Beth brought up about public safety and things like that, and they weigh different things. So it's got a they have their priority list, that we want to, because we don't want to do a priority list that they have as a 30, but we make that number one when we look at their list and, their priorities is a 50, we have a better chance of getting it. So that's where we try to balance everything together. But that's a good point. Thank you.
You have a question, hand raised on Zoom.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Hi, Steve.
Yes. Good evening. Steve Sherlock here, reporting for Franklin Matters. And I think you answered part of the question, but if I was clear in understanding before, you mentioned a website available. Could you share that link or where it is? I haven't found it on the town page at this point. And related to that was the listing of priorities. And I think you just said you're going to post that, so it's not yet on the website.
You always have the computer in front of you. I was just wasn't sure, but I'll make sure it's up tomorrow. All of it, links and all our documentation.
I appreciate that because while I'm focused on reporting, I certainly want to share for others, but I'm as a heavy walker around town. There's a lot of things that I think, and I applaud you for making the effort and making the time to do this, to get the input. And when you're ready, I've got, I think, three other suggestions if you haven't already considered in terms of feedback, et cetera. So, but I just wanted to clarify the town, the page and the priorities for the project for the moment.
Yes, Steve, we'll have that up tomorrow. And I'd also say if anybody has any ideas or things we should do and they haven't been able to, or the best way to participate is probably send an email, and I'll make sure we get back to you in the next couple of days.
Yeah, I just think put an email or direct contact on the Complete Streets site.
There'll be a link there.
Brutus or Mike or Brooke, whoever, just to collect all that. And I would also note, Steve, that the official prioritization plan technically is still in draft form. So not only will they add up the draft plan that we're discussing tonight, but in another week or two when the town staff submits the actual final plan, we'll be sure to upload that as well.
Sure, thanks.
Any other questions? Comments? Complaints?
I'll put my other three in then.
After complaints, Steve, huh?
Oh, just please. Situations that if they're not already on the list, that can be addressed.
Yep.
So one thing in particular, sight lines. And I know from looking or hearing at some planning board meetings, sometimes when curb cuts, et cetera, are mentioned, but sight lines from a safety perspective, certainly both from a driver and biker and particularly walker. There's some corners coming up to Cottage Street, for example, where the sidewalks are somewhat blocked, so you don't get a good view around to see what traffic is on Cottage. So if you've got sight lines or the related to that, what does the town have any bylaws in terms of enforcing sight lines?
It depends on the obstruction.
Yeah, so in one case, it's a fence that's right to the corner of the property, right to the sidewalk. And for those listening, you can visualize it coming up Wachusett towards Cottage. On the left side, it's wide open. On the right side, there's a chain link fence with some growth on it. Similarly, coming up Peck Street to Cottage, on the left side, there's some hedging. And they did cut it back maybe 2 feet on each side, but it's still not enough to get a clear view as to what traffic is there.
So actually, what's awesome about that is that does not fall into Public Works. That falls under the building department. And actually, Gus Brown is the town fence viewer, as it's called. And actually, Gus has been great because I know I've called about, particularly on the one in Peck Street, numerous times. But there's things all over town, you know, trees growing out and stuff like that, that, you know, on private property to lean into the public right away first. So Gus Brown does an excellent job with that. So that's where we'd have to go with those.
Okay. Second one, more specifically on the sidewalks, and it came up during the reconstruction of downtown, but there's still other property occurrences where somebody in a wheelchair can't make it completely along the sidewalk because either the placement of the utility pole or some other obstruction blocks them. So from a complete accessibility standpoint, that's an issue for certainly our handicapped folks.
That's a huge issue for us, and it has been brought up before. Just so the folks at home know, the minimum distance that has to be done is 36 inches. And, you know, I will tell you on the main store, actually goes back to the Union Street project. I got agitated because, you know, when you look on a plan and it shows the post as, you know, 36 inches away from the curb edge for passage. But when the pole's actually installed, sometimes they have a lean to them. They could lean towards, you know, towards the road or towards the access. So I'm very, very sorry and embarrassed for that.
Anya.
So, but yeah, so we will pay attention. But if there's any specific locations where there's a, you know, width issue, whatever, it's of a pole or anything else, please let us know and we'll definitely go out and check it out.
Yeah, I'll start documenting those more fully. I did start taking some photos from as I was walking, so I'll put those together. And then the third
sorry to interrupt real quick, just on the poles. Alicia and I in the office, as you know, we do poll hearings when there's new polls that do come in. And Alicia is my witness, the last poll that has been coming before us. This is a huge focus in our office that we try to do everything we can between our office and the DPW to hold the utility companies who put those polls in as much accountable as possible where they put them. I have to be straight up. They just simply screw them up, and it's really infuriating. Alicia and I just went through this, and I absolutely refused. I would say, Alicia, maybe for 4 or 5, 6 months, refused to sign the poll hearing order because they could not. They didn't understand any of this dynamic in which I was discussing, which was very frustrating. Where there was a pole going in on Washington Street near the headquarters too. And I said, you have to put the pole all the way to the left or all the way to the right, because down the street, there's a pole smack dab right in the center of the 36 inches. And we use that as an example. Our town staff and all of us, Gus, we do the best we can on these issues. And sometimes the reality is the utility company also just screws it up. And we try to do the best we can. And the most frustrating part about it, Steve, as you can imagine, is once they stick the pole in the ground, you can only imagine how difficult it is to get them back here to fix it. So we do the best we can, and I do appreciate you bringing up that comment on behalf of many of the individuals who do use wheelchairs to get up and down those public ways. So thank you.
You're welcome. And then the third and final one, given that I am rather tall as I walk on some of the side streets, and I think based on Brutus's prior comment, I'll have to go back to the board to the building inspector on it. But is there anything in terms of kind of the height along the sidewalk, whether it's hedging or trees, et cetera? Because that's also a danger from time to time if I'm not fully paying attention where I'm walking.
So to give you an overview, the trees, I am the tree warden.
Yeah, I did recall
that. 14 feet, you know, off the roadway. Sidewalks, obviously it's a clearance type thing, I would imagine 8 feet. But the good news is if it's a tree that's hanging over a sidewalk or anything over the public right of way, and this also goes for private homeowners, you basically own the airspace that goes above that line. So if a tree's hanging over that line, whether it's on, you know, the town's property or your property, you're allowed to prune and cut that back. So, but if there is low hanging branches or something like that over the sidewalk, then that would be my responsibility to have those pruned.
Thanks for the update. I'll add it to my list of things to send you an email periodically as I'm walking around.
Okay. I look forward to it.
I'm sure you will.
I know.
Okay. Any other residents out there, folks in the house on Zoom? Okay. Going once, going twice. I think we'll adjourn the meeting informally. And for folks, all the materials will be on the Complete Streets website on the DPW page. And we'll be submitting our town's plan in a couple weeks. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. Night.
Thank you.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. And by the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.